Well, good morning, everyone. And welcome around the Lord's table as the Lord's people. It's nice to have visitors with us. Some of our folks are away on holiday as well, the other way. And everybody's welcome with a cup of tea or coffee after the service in the small hall. There'll be a retiral offering today for the Fabric Fund. And all this week we'll be doing home communions. If you know anybody who would benefit from a home communion, please let the elder know. You have most of the intimations before you. Let me just point out that next Sunday, we also have the RNView service, which will be a week earlier than usual. It's to accommodate holidays. There'll be a lot of works going on in Ivanhoe Drive and Ailsa Road this week. Indeed, for the next 6 weeks. We apologise for any inconvenience. They'll be using the church car park. There should be some space left for parking, but it will be a bit of an inconvenience for 6 weeks. But it's necessary work repairing sewage pipes. I'd just like to thank everybody for their support last Sunday when the Fraternal organised a kind of spontaneous service down at the seafront. It turned out to be a beautiful day. There was a fair number of folk turned out. And I'm glad there was a few representing our church there. Also, I'd like to thank those who supported the South Beach Care Home's 60th anniversary service on Thursday. It's 60 years now the Church of Scotland has had a home for elderly people down at the seafront. And finally, as you leave today, you can have a free gift of two radio programmes, one entitled Eschatology and one Bottom Lines. So this, as Jacob said, is the very gate of heaven. This is the house of God. Here is the people of God gathered around the Lord's table on the Lord's day to hear a word from God and to be nourished and fed in our faith. So let us worship him and sing to his praise and glory. In hymn 572 in the Red Book, Come, Risen Lord, 572. So come in, sit yourselves down, make yourselves comfortable, and enjoy God's hospitality. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting Heavenly Father, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we praise and thank you this morning for your hospitality, for inviting us round to your place, for giving us a seat at your table and a place in your family. We thank you that you have adopted us as your adopted sons and daughters. We thank you that we belong here. This is our home too. You are our Father, and we sit here as brothers and sisters. Merciful and gracious God, you have always been a hospitable God, spreading out a beautiful Garden of Eden for your creatures, miraculously providing daily manna in the wilderness, enough but no more than was sufficient for one day at a time. As the psalmist said in Psalm 23, you prepare a table, a banquet for us in the presence of our enemies, and our cup overflows. Lord Jesus, we remember you spreading a table, providing a feast, breaking bread, giving hospitality on many occasions. We remember the feeding of the 5,000 and the 4,000, the Last Supper, on the shore of Lake Galilee, in Emmaus with Cleopas and his friend, in the upper room, before and after the resurrection. Merciful and gracious God, forgive us when, as prodigal sons and daughters, we reject our place in your heart, in your home, and at your table. Forgive us for our wine, woman, and song elsewhere. Forgive us for reversing your miracle and sometimes changing the rich wine of life into the tasteless water of second-best living. Forgive us when, after enjoying your gracious hospitality and acceptance and forgiveness and new life, we go out and refuse to entertain others, refuse to welcome strangers, refuse to accept and forgive and help our neighbor. We thank you for your bread and wine today, for they remind us of the extent of your love and your forgiveness. And now, O bread of heaven, feed us till we hunger no more. Now, Lord Jesus, give us that water by which we need never thirst again. Come and dine with us so that we can be like Martha and Mary, sitting at your feet. And as Zacchaeus found, may this be a life-changing experience. And hear us as we pray together the words which you taught us to say. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now let's read Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He lets me rest in fields of green grass and leads me to quiet pools of fresh water. He gives me new strength. He guides me in the right paths as he has promised. Even if I go through the deepest darkness, I will not be afraid, Lord, for you are with me. Your shepherd's rod and staff protect me. You prepare a banquet for me where all my enemies can see me. You welcome me as an honored guest and fill my cup to the brim. I know that your goodness and love will be with me all my life, and your house will be my home as long as I live. Amen. Thanks be to God. Let's sing together that psalm. It's 387 in the Red Book. Thank you. Now let's turn to the Gospel of Luke, starting with chapter 10 at verse 38. Chapter 10, verse 38. When Jesus went down south, he always stayed with Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. As Jesus and his disciples went on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha welcomed him in her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat down at the feet of the Lord and listened to his teaching. Martha was upset over all the work that she had to do. So she came and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to come and help me." The Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled over so many things. But just one thing is needed. Mary has chosen the right thing, and it will not be taken away from her." And then in chapter 14, at verse 28. Sorry, verse 12. 14, verse 12. Jesus is having hospitality at the home of a Pharisee. Jesus said to his host, "When you give a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, for they will invite you back, and in this way you will be paid for what you did. When you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they are not able to pay you back. God will repay you on the day the good people rise from death." Amen. And thanks be to God for these readings. Let's sing together from the White Book, number 678, There's a quiet understanding. 6, 7, 8. In my bachelor days as a young minister, I had a knock on the door at the back of 10 o'clock at night. This was a gentleman of the road. He had been a frequent flyer with me over the years. He says, "Can I come in? Can I get a cup of tea?" So as I was filling up the kettle, he says, "Have you got any ketchup?" So I turned round, "Ketchup? What do you want ketchup?" And then he was taking out of his inside pocket of his jacket a full fish supper and spreading it on the table. I said, "This is not a hotel, you know." He said, "I'm only asking for a cup of tea and ketchup," I added. "You Christians are supposed to be good neighbors. You're supposed to give a poor man a drink of water. You're supposed to be hospitable and loving." And I went, "Ah, but..." And then I didn't know what to say next because I knew he had a bit of a point. Christians are supposed to be loving, open, hospitable. Just like our hospitable God, who gives us life, planet Earth, time and space, countless blessings and gifts, all out of the goodness of his heart. Romans chapter 12, practice hospitality. It's one of those simple little sentences, simple words, simple command, practice hospitality. So Paul tells the Romans and all Christians to do that. Christianity is the radical new lifestyle of the open hand, the open heart, the open door, the open table. 1 Timothy chapter 3. A leader in the church must be hospitable. Titus chapter 1, an elder of the church must be hospitable. That's it in English, hospitable. In the original Bible written in Greek, the word would be philoxenos. Xenos is the word that gives us xenophobia, the hatred of foreigners, strangers. But Christians are supposed to be lovers of strangers, hospitable. 1 Peter chapter 4, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. The early Christian church needed to be hospitable because at first there were no church buildings, couldn't meet like we are doing now. They had to use somebody's house that had a big enough living room for everybody. So the church met in the house of Aquila and Priscilla, or in the house of Philemon. In Matthew 25, Jesus speaks about his second coming and the sheep and the goats, and he puts it, I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. So welcome to heaven. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. So go to hell. Luke chapter 14, which we read earlier. On one Sabbath, Jesus went to eat a meal in the home of one of the leading Pharisees. It's amazing to find a Pharisee giving Jesus hospitality. But hospitality was a big thing in those days in the Middle East. It was amazing Jesus accepted the invitation, but he did. And at one point in their conversation, Jesus says, when you give a lunch or dinner, don't invite your friends, brothers and relatives, your rich neighbors. You know you'll get an invite back, and you're quits. When you invite folk who can't repay you, the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. But God will repay you in the end. We should examine our motives for our hospitality. Giving hospitality shouldn't be burdensome duty, as we sometimes reduce the paying of income tax. We should have a bigger vision for it. William Barclay has the quote, he dropped a penny in the plate and meekly raised his eyes, glad the week's rent was duly paid for mansions in the skies. Giving hospitality shouldn't be about self-interest, like some sort of investment, a credit in God's account book. We can fall into the idea of God the bookkeeper, and we keep up with him and we score little points, but it's not good theology. Good hospitality does not mean feeling superior either. The smug self-righteousness, I'm doing a good deed, I'm helping the others. Jewish rabbis had a saying that the best hospitality is when the giver and the receiver are unknown to each other. The right motive should be love, a natural, spontaneous exuberance, a full and running overness, a generosity that will know no bounds. That is maybe supernatural to ask for. It's not the everyday way of thinking in the human life, but it's the Christian revolution. If we give to receive a reward, Jesus says we'll not get any. But if we give with no thought of reward, then we will be rewarded. I remember being in Brazil, in the home of a very poor woman, and she'd invited round all the church youth fellowship, and all these teenagers had invaded her home like locusts. They were in and out of her kitchen, in and out of her fridge, and I said to her, you'll have nothing left. And she stood there beaming, yes, but this is what I love. I love to see the young ones happy. I love to feed them. Giving hospitality is what I was bred for. And then I had to reflect, and I was a guest too. Hebrews chapter 13. Remember to welcome strangers in your homes. There were some who did that and welcomed angels without knowing it. The writer's thinking in their mind back to the Old Testament, when Abraham and Sarah gave hospitality to God's messengers that they would be having a son called Isaac. There was also the angel came to Manoah and his childless wife. telling them they would give birth to Samson. God often uses visitors to enrich our lives. We angels, so they are. When I was a little boy, there were some evangelists came to our village. Although it's a long time ago, I can still remember they came with a set of blazers, all maroon. And the congregation put them up in their own homes. And my parents gave hospitality to one of them. 50 years later, this one that we had given hospitality to was a man from Saltcoats. It didn't mean anything to me when I was about 4 or 5. But 50 years later, I was inducted as a minister to Saltcoats. And a few years later, I had a funeral of this man's mother. You see the connection. It's not to do with angels, but when you give hospitality, there's no end to the twists and turns and how things spread out. The ancient world took hospitality very seriously. The ancient Greeks' chief god was Zeus, and the favorite title for Zeus was Zeus Xenios, Zeus the protector of strangers. The Greeks didn't like inns, hospitality that was given for money. It seemed unnatural and immoral even. Greek inns were also famously filthy, ruinously expensive, and of low repute. They were widely avoided. Dionysius asks Heracles where they might find a lodging with the fewest fleas. Plato writes about innkeepers holding travelers to ransom. And in the Old Testament, Rahab, the harlot in Jericho, who helped Joshua spies, she kept an inn of a sort. The ancient world often thought of inns and brothels in the same breath. The ancient world had a wonderful system to get round that. It was called guest friendships. Families and friends visited each other and gave each other hospitality. Over the years, they would not always be able to recognize each other. So as a way of recognizing someone, it's a bit like when they were doing the water to Saltcoats. If the Saltcoats folk wanted to go to Glasgow, the arrangement in the ancient times was to give people tallies. They had a round thing and they would break it and give half to each. And if you ever needed a favor in the future, bring your tally with you. And if it matched the one in their house, you had hospitality. That's the origin of the word, the tally, tallying up. Psalm 23. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. In ancient times, you could imagine someone fleeing from their enemy, running across the wilderness, the desert, to escape. And they come across some nomads in their tents, and they run up to the tent and ask for protection. And in a split moment, the hosts have to decide whether to bring them in or to reject them. And it will be life or death. And in the Middle East, it was almost a sacred duty that you would welcome someone in. Could be a dangerous stranger. Didn't know the story behind the running away. But when welcomed in, the attackers would not invade that tent. It was a sanctuary. Only this week, the Church of England's thinking of making churches sanctuaries for folk running away from knife crime. I hope you see by now the parallels with the Lord's Supper and us sitting in the house of God today. This is where we find sanctuary. This is where we find safety. This is where we find God's hospitality. This is where we belong. This is where he provides for us lavishly. Michael Palin travels the world. And he says it always amazes him how people take him in as a stranger. And they pour out their hearts and souls to him. They provide not only tangible hospitality, but their love and their affection. Never mind Michael Palin, I've done it myself. I went to Jamaica and lived with a Jamaican family for a month. I'd never met them in my life before. And we sat together, him black as tar and me white as snow. But in every other sense, he was a Presbyterian minister, so was I. He was older, I was younger. We had our little differences, but we had so much in common. And we became lifelong friends. I could quote other cases round the world. And then in reverse, when I was a minister in Stirling, the university asked local people in Stirling to make contact with the foreign students. So I made friends with a Spanish student, and he lived in my house for a while. Hospitality is what makes the world go round. Not talking to strangers is the current wisdom of our society. There is a sense in which we shouldn't talk to strangers, but there's an even stronger sense in which we should. It's the cross-fertilizing that makes the Garden of Eden flourish. Don't hide behind walls of Jericho. Come out with open hearts, open minds, open hands, open doors. It goes in layers. The first level is like the bed and breakfast level. The second level is to be really interested in the people. To reach out to them and meet them as human beings so that they have a name, they have a character. And we click. And we, third level, develop a friendship. At the fourth level, we might even marry them. Every spouse is a stranger at first. It's a sobering thought. Everybody who's ever spent the rest of their life with somebody, there was a time they'd never met them before. We welcome and we accept, not by any demands or rights or deservings, just out of the goodness of our hearts. The fellowship grows not because it must or it has to, but just because it does and we want it. And we share literal physical things, but we share more heart and mind and soul. At the deepest level, it's sacramental, as we have here at the Lord's table. The magic of this is not the bits of bread and the bits of wine. The magic of this is that God is in this place reaching out to us, and we are reaching back to him and reaching across to each other. And we share the bread and the wine, but we share more than bread and wine. We share time, we share affection, we share commitment, we share beliefs, we share behaviors. We get all these ideas about hospitality from God. He does it to us first. He came all the way to this earth to touch us and reach us. Let me just run it by the four stages for the last run. It begins with welcome and acceptance. Jesus came to Zacchaeus. They'd never met before, but Jesus took the initiative. I want hospitality at your house, Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus gave him time of day, and it was life-changing to Zacchaeus' benefit. He did the same with the Samaritan woman at the well, or to Martha and Mary and Lazarus in Bethany. And then the fellowship and the bonding increases. Well, sometimes it doesn't, because the rich young ruler, he just slinked away again. The Pharisees saw Jesus, but they never understood. But when it works, the disciples had 3 years with Jesus, and even then the rest of their lives. They exchanged everything to their benefit. It's this sharing. We give the loaves and the fish, and Jesus does the miracles with them. We give him water from the well, and he spiritually nourishes us. We give him an afternoon like Zacchaeus did, and he gives us a new life for all eternity. We lay out bread and wine like Cleopas and his friend in Emmaus, and he turns our life around in a sacramental experience. We give Jesus a cross. He gives us forgiveness and eternal life by means of it. He shares his all with us, and we like to share our all with him. He shares our humanity, and we share his eternity. He comes into our life, and we are part of his life. We are wedded together. That's the mystery right now. That's the heart of the Christian faith. It's beyond words to explain, so let's stop speaking and let's enjoy it. So let's come round the Lord's table, and first the offering for the work of the Lord will be received. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you have laid out the table before us with the bread and the wine symbolizing your commitment to us. And we lay before you our offerings, symbolizing our commitment to you, of our time, talents, and money, our whole beings. Amen. Let's sing our communion hymn, hymn 573. We'll sing verses 1 to 4. Hear, O my Lord, I see thee face to face.
Mine is the gift of thine. This is the hour of banquet and of song. This is the heavenly table spread for me. Here let me feast and feasting still.
Please remain standing and let us confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. It's 546 in the Red Book. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Today, as we gather round the Lord's table, we are celebrating the fact that we have a new elder with us, John Hunter, who was ordained just last Sunday. We're also celebrating that we have a new member with us. Well, sort of new. Robert Howie, who's been a long-time member and elder in this church, choir member. He had ceased to be a member for the last couple of years, but he wants to come back and join us. But at the moment, he's in hospital, so he'll be getting home communion through the week. So we welcome John, and we welcome Robert, and we welcome everybody around this table. This table of our Lord Jesus Christ is open to all who truly love him and are members of any branch of his church worldwide. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. The gifts of God for the people of God. Dear friends, listen to the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord as they're given to us by St. Paul. He writes, I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So let's do it in word and in action, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As Jesus took bread and wine, I take these elements of bread and wine, to be set apart from all common uses to this holy use and mystery. And as Jesus gave thanks and prayed, let us now make our prayers of thanksgiving. Truly, at all times and in all places, we should give thanks to you, O Holy Lord, Father Almighty, everlasting God, for you created the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. You created us in your own image, and your tender mercies are over all your works. We praise you, Lord Jesus, for you are the Saviour of the world. Blessed be the hour in which you were born, and the hour when you died. Blessed be the dawn of your rising again, and the glorious day of your ascending. And blessed be you, O Holy Spirit, giver of life, who enables your people to proclaim the gospel among all the nations. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with all the angels and all the company of heaven, We worship and adore your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Glory be to you, O Lord Most High. And now, O Father, as we remember Jesus' life and work, we come to his table in his name and in obedience to his command. By the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, bless and consecrate these gifts, we pray, so that the bread which we break may be for us a sharing in the body of Christ, and the cup which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ. This we ask for the forgiveness of our sins and the hallowing of all our lives and work, and so that we ourselves may become a living sacrifice, dedicated and fit for your acceptance. And hear us as we bring to you our particular prayers this weekend. We pray for your blessing on all who are ill. In particular, we think of Robert Howie and Sylvia Bell and Peggy Gilfillan, who will be 94 tomorrow and is in Cross House Hospital. We pray for Maura Conway. We pray for Agnes Lowe and Dreghorn, Maureen's friend. We pray for all those on our home communion list. We pray for South Beach Care Home, celebrating its 60th anniversary. We pray for those who are bereaved, especially the family and friends of Jean Harwood. And we pray for our wider world. We think of the G20 summit in Osaka in Japan, with all the powerful world leaders together. We think of this, the 20th anniversary of the Scottish Parliament. We pray for people enduring the record high temperatures in Europe and the effects of global warming all over the world. We pray for migrants all across the world, particularly those fleeing Central America because of the gangs and the murders, trying to find peace in another country somewhere. We pray for our own country, trying to elect a new prime minister. We pray for our own country where a woman was stabbed to death yesterday. She was pregnant, but the paramedics managed to save the baby. But it's in a critical condition at the moment. We pray for our country where alcohol kills 20 people a week. 55,000 children are gambling addicts. 450,000 children regularly gamble. And the suicide rate in Scotland has gone up by 100 since last year. It's now 784 people in a year. Much more men than women, and most of all under 25-year-olds. Lord, into such a society you have put us, your church. As a presbytery today, we are praying for the students, for the ministry. Mandy Ralph, Betsy Thane, and Douglas Crichton. But we pray for the ministry of all your people in this land and throughout the world. Use us to convey the gospel to others. Amen. So according to the holy institution, example, and command of our Lord, and in remembrance of him, we do this. The night in which he was betrayed, and the night when he rose again, Jesus took bread. When he blessed it and given thanks, he broke it. And he said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, grant us your peace. So take this and eat it. This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of him. This cup is the new covenant sealed by Christ's blood, which was shed that the sins of many might be forgiven. Drink from it, all of you. Enjoy Jesus' hospitality at the deepest level. the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, for a high moment in hospitality. It's like being up the Mount of Transfiguration and seeing you more clearly. But then we have to gird up our loins and go back down the hill and back into daily life, and we think twice about it. But help us not to see it like that. We've enjoyed your hospitality in the holy place. May we continue to enjoy your hospitality in the marketplace. Indeed, may we transform our marketplaces into holy places, because you are with us, we are with you, and together we reach out to the other, so that the other may join us. So may your hospitality be all-pervasive wherever we go from here. Amen. Let's sing together our closing hymn. It's the last part of hymn 573. Verses 5-7. And now may the peace of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you this day and evermore.